The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We are grateful. Thank you for making us part of your morning each and every morning. It's Gil Alexander. This is Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine. So much more than a producer.
Moj bombs.
Yeah, let's teaser time coming up. We're going to have Jason Weingarten on. I'm going to read some tweets. But we got a Woj bomb, and it's the last Woj bomb we're ever going to get, ladies and gentlemen. ESPN senior NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski has agreed to become the general manager of the men's basketball program at St. Bonaventure, where he went to school. So he's going to his alma mater. He is leaving ESPN to become the GM of the men's basketball program. I wasn't aware that there was a GM position.
Me either.
But apparently there is.
Today's world, man.
And he is leaving ESPN. Quote, "It's a thrill of a lifetime to be able to return to a university and community that I love in a role of service for our student athletes, coaches, and institution. I am hopeful that I can bring value in a lot of areas to our basketball program and open doors for our young men's futures in ways both professionally and personally." Congratulations to Adrian Wojnarowski. Now Kelly Bidlin interprets the news.
Sounds like a whole lot more money for a whole lot less work.
And that was Kelly Bidlin interprets the news. It's a new segment we're coming up with there.
You put me on the spot for that. And you agreed, too.
I do.
Woj is awesome. He's an amazing reporter. Yeah. I guarantee you, in whatever role he's with in St. Bonaventure's, exactly what he said, he will help those kids in life big time.
He will.
But
I think that his job, probably, like, the pressure of being first with every breaking story.
So much stress.
I think Shams was getting the best of him a lot. He was, you know, some of the draft stuff was bad for him. But I just think it's a lot less pressure. And he's, by the way, he's 55 years old. He's probably like, wait, less work, more money, or almost as much money, if that's it, whatever it is. Good for him.
He has earned every right. Yes. Yep. And I mean, this is with college athletics right now. I mean, this is the Wild West, right? Like, there's so much money out there. We're still figuring out how all this is going to work.
Congratulations, Woj. Good job.
Yeah, I'm going to miss you. I mean, this is, opens the door for some NBA reporters. Get your name in the mix.
I do like that segment, Kelly. We should do that more often. And now it should take, like, the intro and the outro should be longer than your explanation, than your interpretation. That's beautiful.
I feel like I had one earlier this week, too. I've already forgotten.
We had tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Jesse Welch. Jesse Welch says, "I'm going to need Kelly to produce at least one full season of a critically acclaimed TV drama before giving his opinion on The Wire again." Amen, brother. That's exactly right.
All right, well done, Jesse. Kenny, that was
excellent.
Well done.
Excellent weaving in of something we were talking about in the first segment. Xavier 82 Jacob, he says, "You got to love it when you tune in for baseball plays and base winner comes in spitting that hot fire at 100 miles per hour with those sunny, 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 can't you see rap lyrics."
You got to make sure you follow him on Twitter, because I have you caught recently started tweeting some of these as
well? Yeah. Yes. The best part of that is, though, he says, "I rapped it earlier."
Yes, I rapped it earlier.
you also can't, like, gift? What did you? Oh, rapped it. I see what you mean.
The problem is, if you talk to Mark as much as Gil has, and even I have, right? Yeah. You can't read his tweets without hearing it in his voice.
So great.
So, like, it's actually,
do we still have that sounder of him doing the Snoop lyrics?
Like, I don't know. We have it over here. I'm going to put that on Darnell.
Darnell, this project. This is from Roger Jones. "Hey, don't tell Gil, Kelly, but I'm with you on The Wire." Roger Jones, what are you doing?
Nobody wants to admit it. I'll just admit it. That's one of those shows that everybody thinks is so great that it scares away.
Because it is.
But then it scares away people from being to offer up their opinion that they don't think it's quite as great as everybody else.
You should be scared. You know who you're turning me into? The great Brian Ortega, who is
I bet you he's flipping out back.
You're turning me into Ortega. Ortega is our man on the spot when it comes to the Oscars and Emmys betting. And Ortega, famously snobbish about it all, he once told JVT, he goes, "You probably won't understand this movie." That's how he said in my ear, he goes, The Wire is fantastic. Yeah, yeah. You're right. Get Ortega on set. Brian M., "It's interesting how Paul Carr said the UCL expanded, the Champions League expanded for more money and more big teams. Kind of sounds like the college football playoff." He says, "Does that make the Premier League the SEC?" Good point. Sky High says, "Gil, with all the shows that have been made since, The Wire isn't even top 10, top 5, he says. top five. Let's not get crazy. He just said not top five. He says Breaking Bad, Sopranos, Game of Thrones, Ted Lasso, and the Manning cast. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up about the Manning cast. I failed to mention this yesterday. Bill Belichick. He's not on the Manning cast every week, but he was on the other night. He's on every few weeks, I think. They're also not on every week, as far as I know. But anyway,
I also think him and Peyton are doing either a separate show or it's separate segments with they throw in SportsCenter.
He is so good.
Yeah.
So it, not only the mechanics of football, like the last sequence at the end of the first half when Atlanta had one timeout left, they were driving, they had first and goal, and then Belichick before the play, he's like, Don't run here because then you have to use the timeout and then you're kind of putting yourself in a pickle. That's exactly what Atlanta did. They put themselves in a pickle and they had to kick a field goal. Not just the sort of straightforward football things, but Atlanta had the ball on offense at one point and just randomly Belichick, who had gotten shunned by the Falcons front office. Remember, he was supposed to get the job for a second and then all of a sudden he did and Raheem Morris got it. At one point, he's like breaking down something in the middle of it. He goes, you know, Falcons love tampering, so that's kind of their thing. And he just keeps going. He could not care less. It's fantastic television.
Oh, that's really great. Yeah, I've got a couple of the, I don't know if it's a segment or a full show they do with him and Peyton kind of like breaking down plays. It's obviously to help promote the Manning cast, but it's well done. I'm with you. He's great. Nobody's talking about him, though, because everybody's too busy talking about Tom Brady.
Yeah, who I think will be great, too.
I feel so bad for that guy. Oh my gosh. I've never seen anybody like get like their performance broken down in a debut on TV as much as Tom Brady.
Tom Brady can teach you more, just like Peyton Manning. And Belichick, they can teach you more about football in 30 seconds than you've ever known. Tom Brady has something on TikTok or Instagram. Can't remember who he's explaining it to, but it was like how certain quarterbacks don't come into the play having thought of things pre-snap. Mm. And so they end up making a terrible play, which, you know, the announcers will then say, he's talking about other announcers, will be like, well, he had to improvise there. And Brady's like screaming. He's like, no, he should have known pre-snap that was the wrong. I mean, it's just fascinating to get into the mind of not only one of the all-time greats, but perhaps the greatest of all time. We'll get more tweets later. This is World Series exactas. So I have the Diamondbacks versus the Royals in a matchup, not an exacta, in a matchup. Remember, there's the matchup market, and then there's the exacta market, to use the horse racing term, which is the which team has to beat the other team. I don't know that the matchup market exists anymore.
I was just at DraftKings. It hasn't the last couple times I've checked.
Yeah. So I thought I saw the matchup one yesterday with my Diamondbacks Royals being 150-1, but maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe it was an exacta.
I put it that way because the last couple times I've checked on this, it hasn't been up.
Yeah.
But they are constantly pulling these things down.
But just be aware, right? Yeah. Caesars Will Hill does a great job of having these up more than anybody. So World Series exacta. This is a team to exactly beat the other. The Dodgers beating the Yankees, believe it or not, no surprise, is the short shot, 11-1. And again, I sort of say the most wide open playoffs ever. And then I always tag it at the end by saying, and now watch, this will be the year where the Dodgers beat the Yankees. Yankees beat Dodgers is the second short shot. So the Blue Bloods are there in the betting market are the short shots in this.
I have a question for you right away at the top. Uh-huh. If you were interested in either one of those and you didn't have the matchup market available to you, wouldn't you just play the Yankees over the Dodgers? If you were planning on hedging of any kind, would you play just Yankees over Dodgers and then somehow hedge once it got there? I mean, like the
or you mean other like way the, around?
The
you?
Series price wouldn't be that.
I would say you'd play Dodgers versus Yankees and then the Yankees will be the dog.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. I know. But is there going to be that? Or would they be that big of a favorite? The Dodgers, right? Would they be that big of a, or the Yankees, would that be that big of a favorite? Sorry, Dodgers. Would they be that big of a favorite over the Yankees to make that a easier hedge or a rougher hedge?
All right, it just confused me. But I, if I'm understanding you right, there is a way, if you so believed in those two teams, the way I would do it is
take the shorter price.
I would
the,
take
and
the shorter
hedge
price.
The dog.
Hedge. Yeah. But the problem is I don't believe in those two teams, right? Like I don't think anybody can come into this postseason thinking the Yankees are just so much better than anyone else. I just don't think they are.
I just, in a current, those prices, you can't, right?
If I had to choose one, and we got the answer from Borchard. Borchard said Diamondbacks over Guardians. I believe he said it that way.
Yes, I believe so.
So that's not even pictured. So this is the thing. I think if you're betting this, you almost owe it to yourself to take a shot on something that is longer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't sound like it, but once we get into the postseason, we will quickly realize this is just free for all. So you almost owe it to yourself to take a couple different long shot thoughts. I actually may do what Borchardt did, although I can't, if it's only an exacta, I hate the exactas. I prefer the matchups because I hate to lose these based on a World Series result.
Yeah.
But Guardians, Diamondbacks, Royals, like somewhere in that world, I would stay away from Dodgers, Yankees, and Phillies because I just don't think that's worth it.
Guardians over Diamondbacks, 90-1 at DraftKings. Diamondbacks over Guardians, 100-1.
How can you not bet something like that?
And it's the big thing of, okay, this market will still be up when the playoffs start, right? The odds move on those top couple options is not going to be all that big, whereas this 100-1 is going to become what, 28-1?
Well, yeah, that's exactly right, because we already kind of know who's going to get the buys at this point. At least we do in the National League.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite. We actually don't know in the National League because it's a three-team race at the top, so we don't quite know. But your point is correct, is that the ones that are not at the top are going to move more dramatically here. So I'm just saying, generally speaking, I would hazard a flyer on some longer shots. And for me, already having the Diamondbacks Royals as a matchup, I would play a Guardians Diamondbacks or a Guardians. You know, some people also think the Astros, right? The Astros are playing possum because they're the most veteran of all these playoff teams. Maybe you think it's the Astros. Astros beat Dodgers 25-1. I don't think that's a good enough price. Dodgers beat Astros 17-1. I'd go longer than that. That's the main point. But I wouldn't even, you know, try to impress you with my teams, whatever your team conviction is. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out our website, vsin.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. It's all there. Front page, homepage, Adam Schein on his week 2 observations, futures bets, and NFL week 3 picks. Mike Somich, the same with NFL week 3 bets and predictions. Adam Burke on college football. Steve Mackinnon with his NFL week 3 betting systems. It's all there. Football and beyond, vsin.com. Check it out. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. And again, I wouldn't read tweets if y'all weren't so awesome with your tweets. It is amazing. The percentage, the rate at which your tweets are awesome and readable on air is staggeringly high. Not stumbling high, but staggeringly high. Which Bill Walsh points out, not that Bill Walsh from the grave, but Bill Walsh points out, he says, stumbling versus staggering, losers in 5 of their last 8, the Royals are stumbling towards the postseason, losers in 18 of their last 28, the Twins are staggering towards the postseason, towards getting past the Tigers. I would agree with that.
We got that all sorted. Thank you, Bill.
Appreciate that. Good friend, Shillionaire. Oh, yes. This will come up with Jason. This is the first thing we're going to talk about. Nick Castellanos hit a home run last night, and Jason Weingarten called it. Just thought this should be acknowledged. And then he goes, let's go Austin Wells, which he does every day. We'll get into that with Jason. Johnny Ringo, can we get a Kelly Interprets presidential polls segment? That would be radio gold. Yes, it would. Brian M., in that analogy earlier with Paul Carr, who's the Big Ten then? Bundesliga? Logic 3227, Manning and Belichick do a 30-show called The Breakdown, where they go over film of the two teams about to play each other on the coming Manning cast.
Thank you, Logic.
Thank you, Logic. Rick Ollier, making fun of you. He says, list of Kelly's top movies of all time. 1, Juana Man. 2, Gigli. And 3, The Room.
That would be 5 of the Fast and the Furious films. I just don't know which 5.
He said, your worst movies are Godfather and Shawshank. Brandon Webb, not that old baseball pitcher Brandon Webb, but another Brandon Webb. We had a Bill Walsh and a Brandon Webb in this. All-time tweet with Jason last night, Spreadopedia. Jason Weingarten is coming up. Terrorists being blown up halfway around the world. What does Castellanos do? He hits a home run in broad daylight. In broad daylight, he did. Jason called this.
Yeah.
Nick Castellanos hits a home run when something happens worldwide. Okay. Let's talk teasers. Teaser time, ladies and gentlemen, for week 3 in the NFL. Here's our intro.
It's teaser time.
Pretty long.
Thank you, Ryan. Thanks. Great voice.
Great voice.
Does Ryan know that
overall, great guy.
Great guy. Yeah. Does Ryan know that he could have a career doing this at radio stations across the country?
Yes, I think he does because he did that before.
Okay. Did he used to do in the Bay Area?
Yeah, I don't even know where all Ryan worked, but he has had a lot of radio experience in his past.
Would you like it just so you can just walk in a room and be like, teaser time, and then walk out? It's awesome. All right, teasers. I have one that I love, and only one that I love. Wong Teaser Legs. Again, Stanford Wong, pseudonym, real name John Ferguson. Many years ago, in his book, talking about what were the most plus EV, plus expected value teaser legs in the NFL, where you could go through the 3 and the 7 was the key. Obviously, scoring has changed. Scoring environment has changed. Analytics has changed the game. A lot of people go for 2 now. They go for it on 4th. So it's a little different. But generally speaking, again, it's home favorites of between 7.5 and 8.5, teased down through the 7 and the 3, and then home and road dogs of between 1.5 and 2.5, teased upward through the 3 and the 7. Note, I did not say road favorites of between 7.5 and 8.5, teased down through the 7 and the 3. That did not qualify as one of the best. Here are the teaser leg candidates, Stanford Wong candidates, that is.
Bengals-ish,
right, because it's also totals dependent, right? Yeah. The main thing is the higher the total, the less value there actually is in it. The lower the total, and intuitively that makes sense, the more value there is in what we're talking about. Bengals are 7.5-point favorites against the Commanders. Niners on the road, so it's not a Wong leg. 7.5-point favorites on the road at the Rams. That should not be a Wong consideration. Cowboys, 1.5-point favorites, 1.5-point dogs, pardon me, at home against the Ravens. Eagles, hey, look who guessed the line correctly on Monday and it swung his way. Said the wrong team was favored. Eagles, 2.5-point dogs at the Saints. Chargers, 1.5-point dogs at the Steelers. Packers, 2.5-point dogs at the Titans. And the Vikings, 2.5-point dogs at home against the Houston Texans. I have one teaser that I love here.
And yes, there are some threes out there on some of these. So just double check those 2.5s if you're...
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. Should we start with what I don't like?
Yeah.
Niners at the Rams is not a Wong leg, nor would I play that.
I have it tied into 2.
Oh, boy.
Because I did it before the Debo news came down. Yeah. I was sitting there right in front of my computer when all of the Rams injury information was coming out, put in bets, and like an hour later, Debo came down. I'm like, hey.
This is, you know, and again, this is the conundrum, not the conundrum, but this is sort of like the problem with betting, right? It's a puzzle that you have to solve. And when it comes to contests, that's why when Fezzik is in here, the reason he waits till the end to submit on his contest up to the deadline is because he wants as perfect information as he can get. And so here's an example. And again, there's a lot of bettors who don't care about that, right? Like Drew Dinsick, for instance. There's so many ways to skin the cat in sports betting. Drew Dinsick likes to bet early before line moves. But you do leave yourself susceptible to what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it's for betting, it's openers, closers, and then based off injury news. Yep. I thought it was one of those. I thought I was doing the perfect thing, right? I thought this number was about to go to 9, 8.5, 9, all these Rams injuries being more detailed and everything. And then Debo kind of comes out of nowhere. We talked about that a bit on Monday. A lot of injuries kind of under the radar to be careful with this week. Somebody brought up Anthony Richardson. He definitely was limping on that final drive. So, some of these are not going to be talked about too much this week. Just keep them in mind.
Cowboys are tempting, but, I mean, if the Ravens won by 10, I wouldn't be surprised either.
I played them in a leg. I played Cowboys up.
You did.
Yeah. I'm still a little surprised by this line. I think, like, what did you have it on Monday?
I had the Cowboys favorite.
So I thought I matched with you perfectly. I thought it was going to be Cowboys like 1.5, something like that.
I personally believe the Ravens should be favored, but I didn't think the market would have it that way.
Okay.
Eagles, I did get that one right. At the time of guessing lines, I had the Saints as 2.5-point favorites, and the Eagles were favored by 2.5 before they played Monday night. This is now the Saints favored by 2.5. I don't think the Eagles are very comfortable in any kind of bet right now. And I think the Saints, obviously, it's only 2 weeks, but the Saints look damn good.
Yeah.
Chargers, I certainly don't trust. And then the Packers-Titans falls in this category of, and it is Malik Willis against ill-advised Billy Levis. I don't know how you bet this game. Like, we have a question on the Megapod, by the way, Megapod tomorrow, beating the book. Todd Wishnev, Will Hill, and I with Adam Chernoff. We always ask the question, what is the game? If you had to bet every single game on the NFL slate on the side, if you lived in a bizarro world, but you got one free pass For me, it could be the Packers and the Titans. I have no idea. No idea. Titans could be 2-0.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I bet that game. I bet that on the opener, Titans. And then came in for a little bit more. I think their rush defense is pretty good. Like you said, they could be 2-0. The Packers, what we saw last week, it's pretty obvious. As long as they can run the ball, they're just going to try to do that.
Lombardi had a great point on the morning line this morning when I was driving in. He was talking about, you know, I don't know what their segment was about, but which quarterbacks have, in some way they were talking about, which have disappointed. Those are my words, maybe not the segment, but he made a great point because of all the bad quarterback play, the only quarterback to absolutely cost his team the game is Will Levis.
Yeah.
Like, you can draw a line from his mistakes to losing those two football games. And as bad as Bryce Young was, right? I mean, he didn't give up 47 points to the Saints, right? So it's like Will Levis is just the most combustible of all these guys. So I left two, and that's my favorite teaser. My favorite teaser is teasing the Bengals down through the 7 and the 3 to, you know, was -1.5. We're talking about 6-point teasers here. Bengals -1.5 versus the commies, the taco holders. And then the Vikings up through the 3 and the 7 hosting the Texans. A Bengals Vikings teaser is by far my favorite teaser of the week.
Okay, I like it. Yeah, Bengals, I like that leg. That's my favorite. That is my favorite leg of the week right now to use for teasers. I think there's a lot of these that you could talk yourself into, though. This is, like, I understand the Vikings love. I mean, they've been great. I loved them this year, too. I still have the sneaking suspicion that the Texans are quite possibly the best team in the NFL, and I just can't go against them there. The ones that I made were, so what I did, Niners and Cowboys. So Cowboys up, Niners down, and then I did Niners and Bengals is what I did when I was talking about that injury news coming down. I'm with you on the Bengals, though. I'm very okay with the idea of tying them up into one more teaser here. I just don't know who. I don't know anybody right now is really jumping out to me as a must-use candidate for another leg.
Yeah, again, and this is just anecdotal because as we just had reported to us, the Bengals are the most popular survivor play this week by a tick currently in pools where you can actually assess who's submitted already. But just in our little world here and our incoming, it just felt like all we've gotten is, oh, I wouldn't trust the Bengals. And I totally disagree on that. I would totally trust the Bengals here against the Commanders, who, again, have not shown any ability to get into the end zone at all. And I still don't know. Austin Seibert made 7 kicks. I still don't know if he can kick it past 45. We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. Bengals Vikings, by far my favorite teaser of the week. Jason Weingarten next, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa here in downtown Las Vegas. Majestic downtown Las Vegas. Kelly and I no longer have to walk over to the D, which you used to do, and avoid a shivving and a shanking, which is always great.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of miss Fremont Street at this time of morning. Yeah. Oh, actually, we're way too late. We really needed it at like 6:45 a.m.
I do not.
It's an interesting scene out there.
The year was 2020. This was during the pandemic, and folks will remember Tom Brenneman was the announcer of the Cincinnati Reds. His dad, Marty, had been a Reds announcer for decades, but Tom Brenneman was announcer for the Reds. He was caught off air, hot mic, saying quite unfortunate things. And it was a game against the Royals, and it was a 3-0 ball game. And he, on air, had to apologize for the hot mic stuff that got caught on air, which he had intended for off air. And he said, if I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart. I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. And just then, in the middle of his apology, he interrupted himself and he goes, as there's a drive into deep left field by Castellanos, it'll be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. And then he went right back into, I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again. I don't know if I'm going to be for the Reds. And so the incident aside, what it did was it sparked all these, this Nick Castellanos. Nick Castellanos is now more known for this than anything he has done in his quite solid MLB career. But people put together lists about times Castellanos has homered during other big events. Jason Weingarten joins us now at Spreadopedia, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Jason, yesterday there was some international news because Israel had Israel not taking claim for this. So let me be clear about it. But there was a widespread attack in Lebanon where pagers had been manipulated and detonated from a remote location, and a whole bunch of terrorists were the victims of this. And you tweeted at this moment what?
Bet Nick Castellanos to hit a home run today. The odds were actually pretty good, too. It was 7.5 to 1, which is unusually high for a 3 or 4 hitter.
And Nick Castellanos made good on it, huh? Hit a homer.
He sure did. It's become a thing, you know. Yes. I mean, there have been articles written about it, pointing out every time he's done this. But it got me thinking, when does a thing like this actually become a thing? Because obviously there's no actual proof or evidence behind this, but it's happened so many times. What it's just a funny coincidence in the universe, or something we joke about, or do we have to write some serious articles about the Nick Castellanos bad luck curse?
I do question some of them, right? Because when it happened the last time, I can't remember what happened internationally or nationally where he hit a home run, but some of them are fabricated a little, right? Some of them are a little like it's the equivalent of data mining in sports betting with models.
Yeah, sure.
Some of them are like, oh, he hit a home run, and then 10 hours later, this happened in some part. So a lot of it is manufactured, but it is certainly a thing. And Jason went ahead and, as very entertaining Spreadopedia Twitter feed, went ahead and predicted it yesterday, and it happened. Nick Castellanos coming through. Did you have a bet in that game, or just that? Just that?
I did,
to hit a home run?
Just a small bet. You know, it's a good day. The terrorists had their accidents. I had a matzo ball for lunch, and I won $1,500 on Nick Castellanos hitting a home run. Where'd
you have your matzo ball, Jason?
Mort's Deli, one of my favorite delis in the Valley.
Have you tried Judy's in Beverly Hills?
Not. Oh, in Beverly Hills?
Most fantastic matzo ball you ever have. Matzo ball soup. Did you bet anything in baseball today?
Yeah, you know, I always got to point out it's the time to tread lightly. The last time I think I made money the last 2 weeks of the baseball season was during the Obama administration. So today I really did tread lightly, and my bet is the Detroit Tigers -128 with Tariq Skubal on the mound. They're making a very big charge towards this last playoff spot. The Tigers might sneak in. It's going to come down to the wire, I think.
We were going over World Series exactas. If I said to you, okay, you must bet a World Series exacta right now, and you can throw one out, we'll give you the price if you don't know them. But what would be a bet that you might make?
Something with the Astros and the Yankees. Probably the Padres. Maybe the Mets. Just... not that I think the Mets are necessarily gonna win, but I bet you can get a good number on them. The Braves are sort of starting this death spiral right now.
Yep.
It's not looking great for them. 2 games back, it gets out of hand quick with these margins.
Do we have the numbers on those particular matchups? What he's talking about?
No. I believe there was like 4 teams thrown out there, but Astros over Padres is 60-1.
60-1.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, we did have a tweet, Trip Tepper, mentioning, and I did see this correctly yesterday, BetMGM does have matchups alone, so not an exact.
Yeah, a lot of books
just
do.
The matchups,
yeah.
Right. And he said he took a couple of scratch lotto tickets, Tigers, Mets. Tigers again on the outside looking in currently, but if they get in there, he has Tigers, Mets 1,000-1, Tigers, Diamondbacks 500-1, Tigers, Padres 500-1, and again, that's just a meet. So... I mean, again, this will probably be the year where it's the Yankees and Dodgers in the end. We've gone 6 months saying it's the most wide open ever. Who knows what happens?
Well, it is more or less if you're making a bet on one of these fringe teams to make the playoffs.
Absolutely, yeah. Make one of these bets. Like this, if enough people do this, there's absolutely going to be somebody out there, whether it's us or not, who knows? But somebody, one of our listeners, is going to have a ticket going into the championship series that is just going to be awesome to have. I mean, these are the moments in sports betting where you don't get this kind of opportunity very often. And that's the nature of the baseball format. Again, best of three, best of five, best of seven before you get to the World Series. All right, Jason, you know what I'm going to ask you, right? Skeens Merrill?
What? Jackson Merrill.
Skeens Merrill. Who do you think wins? The only question is, who does your heart of heart tells you thinks who do you think wins now?
Well, the market thinks Merrill's going to win. If it was closer to 110 either way, I'd be more concerned. But if I said I wasn't considering betting more on Skeens to hedge my position, I'd be lying, because at least, you know, that runs through my head. But the reality is, you know, I want to bet the FanDuel number. It's plus 230. I'm going to have to bet something like $15,000 on it. Is FanDuel even going to take $15,000 on this market? Are they going to take it from me? Am I going to fly to a FanDuel state and do this? I mean, we're getting to sort of legit.
I have no's to all of those answers, to all of those questions. I have no's.
So it becomes a point. Can I actually even hedge this possession at a number I want reasonably? I don't know. I mean, if there's any bookmaker out there I'd like to make a deal, hit me up. You know, I'm on Twitter. You know how to hit me. But then the issue becomes, what happens if Jackson Churio wins? Then I'm going to lose my initial bet and another $15,000. I'm going to look like an idiot. So, yeah, again, I don't think Jackson Churio is going to win. It's just these are all the sort of things that run through your head. Skeens isn't having a bad year by any means. He's having a great year. Merrill, same thing, still producing, hit a home run this last weekend in a game to beat the Astros. You know, I could see Skeens getting votes. Like I said, I'm not ready to not hedge this thing, knowing I can lock in, you know, $10,000-$15,000 profit easy here.
Are you involved in American League Rookie of the Year?
You know, I'm very happy. I have a position on Colton Cowher, and I don't have anything on the Yankees, and I can't really make heads or tails of this with Hill now the favorite and Austin Wells. Like, sort of the same argument. Colton Cowher plays the whole year. Now you're going to ding him, but numbers are numbers. I don't know. I'm happy to listen to other people on the American League and someone tell me what I should bet.
It's going to be a Yankee. I'm convinced of it.
You think so?
I just know it's going to be a Yankee.
Well, then I hope it's Austin Wells, because Will Hill asked me if he should bet 100-1 on Wells, and I was like, well, no, I'm betting Jason Dominguez because I'm smart, sharp, and
hey,
he's going to come up. And
I don't even know if you know this story, but I told this story on air the other day. So
someone else did that too.
Yeah. So about Jason Dominguez, I'm trying to find it now because I don't want to mess up the details. But we have a listener who he DM'd me and he gave me permission to read it on air regarding Austin Wells. He says, on May 31st, I teased an upcoming segment with you, Jason Weingart, where you said he had an interesting idea. So I said, oh, Jason's coming up. He has an interesting idea regarding a Yankees long shot for American League Rookie of the Year. So the listener said, wanting to get the best number fast, he scanned all of his books for Austin Wells and found him at 120-1, which he bet. And then a few minutes later, you came on and you said, Jason Dominguez, everybody, who he never even thought of since he was still recovering from surgery. So he has this 120-1 bet on Austin Wells just because of that, miss you guys.
And it very much might win. So that's an awesome bet. Yeah, I wish I had listened to Will when he tried to get me on Austin Wells, but that's just kind of the way this stuff works sometimes. You know, you gotta have convictions, and I had pretty strong convictions about Jason Dominguez, and it just didn't work out.
That was by the way, Sean Villa, PA, is the listener who made that Austin Wells bet. Last thing on the way out, Shohei's, speaking of staggering to the end, it's kind of slowing down, 48-48. Do you think he can get there, the 50-50?
I think he gets there. I think they're going to have some conversations this week about getting his pitching rehab ramped up so he can potentially pitch in the playoffs. I'm very excited for the playoffs. I can't wait for the season to end, and let's get ready for a fun playoff.
I'm with you. Coming back on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Coming up after A Numbers Game, top of the hour, Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni from noon to 2 Eastern. Stormy will have Matt Brown in with her today. And let me just tell folks what happens in here. Matt Brown has already repositioned Kelly's microphone because he doesn't like how Kelly has the microphone.
I warned you that was going to happen earlier, too.
Stormy, much nicer than Matt. She did not come and rearrange my microphone. After Money Moves, Prop Points with John Hansen, and then Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Coming up 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Martel J. Kelly, you are not a horrible person, but...
Oh, okay. It gets better. Good. Thank you. I'm not a horrible person.
Because he kind of is, right? But the take that The Sopranos is way better than The Wire is lunacy. Too slow? Double question marks with an exclamation point in the middle? Have you watched the final Sopranos season recently? Must be eating those special gummies if you think that's entertaining.
Wow. I stand by all of that. Yeah, stand by
no,
all of
you're,
it.
You're terrible.
Sopranos way
terrible
better.
Take. Jesse Welch. Oh, at DK, you can do the MLB matchups just by parlaying each of the league winners. Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
You could. I was going to bring that up last night. They do have the AL and NL exactas up there as well. So yeah,
smash them together. Jim bets on sports. Gil, not that you're in need of more football content, but there's a DraftKings contest, basically one and done, but with quarterbacks. You choose one per week, only counts passing yards, then you can't use them again. Pretty fun to figure out so far. So I think what you mean is there are matchups, that quarterback versus an opponent.
Yeah, Gil and I got really excited about this on the break, actually.
Yeah, then you can't use them again, I guess.
That's the only thing that makes sense.
That's very
that's a very cool contest.
Michael Burns tweets, and you need to have Las Vegas Chris on to talk about teasers. Oh, he's definitely coming on a Megapod here. I will invite him for sure. He's always doing a Megapod. He's been doing some different things and talking about this last 2 years with teasers on his spaces. Oh, yes. I've gotten the Las Vegas Chris teasers speech before.
Well, what is just the shifting prices? So therefore, there's other teasers to look at.
He is the guy that has to explain it because I would not do it justice.
Well, what did we heard a lot more last year of people looking at more of the 10-point teasers, right? Just because the juice hadn't moved really as much on those, and the 6-pointers keep the juice keeps sliding in a unfavorable direction.
Yeah, I want to say his has to do with like only filling one position. I don't know. He'll have to tell it on the air. Yeah. Las Vegas Chris, who's
a multiple
contest winner here in town. Rat City. Titans insider. He says, Titans are my survivor pick this week. Packers won't be able to run like they did last week. I will live with Malik Willis beating me if he can. Don't think he can. He's the new Bryce Young, his worst starting quarterback.
Who tweeted that?
That was a Rat City, Titans insider.
Love it, Rat City. Show some stones in Survivor Week 3. I like it.
What was that you just did there?
I don't know. Okay. That was Kelly agrees.
Buddhist Man has a poll just for you. He goes, who do you feel worse for, Kelly Bidlin, Tom Brady or Jesse Pegula?
I responded, always Pegula. Always Pegula.
Numbers guy says, Jason Weingarten's must watch television. Get him on the podcast already. And can you ask how the art show went? I'm sorry, I forgot to ask him. Forgot about that.
Who cares? I need a claw machine update every week. I'm so obsessed with it.
Oh, and then Jordan Pagel also says, I did the exact same thing regarding Wells and Dominguez prior to the Jason segment in May. Now I'm sitting with an accidental Wells ticket at 50-1, hoping it gets home. So that's the beauty of a numbers game is not only do you have bets that we actually made, but now you have bets that we actually didn't make.
Yeah, like we need to do a couple PSAs, though. It's called a tease in the business. Maybe like bets are great to make it, especially if you've got one like this, but maybe wait till we talk about it fully before you go and make the bet.
That's probably good advice. It worked out with Austin Wells, but usually it doesn't.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I also got a very flattering tweet yesterday about the college guessing lines, and apparently I was 3-0 on value plays last week. Yes.
But we got a couple of those.
I had to thank the kind sir for tweeting it in and then also warn, you probably shouldn't be betting these if you are. Like, don't bet this.
That's right. And then someone said, yeah, Gil, don't cancel the segment because you had brought up that somehow I was never going to cancel this segment. Now they think I'm going
to cancel. We ran out of steam last year. It happens.
It just runs out of steam. Yeah. Okay. Before we go here, by the way, is the microphone okay? Matt didn't mess it up for you? It's all right?
Of course I repositioned. Okay. Yes.
All right.
What I was describing is as Gil and I are adjusting to a new studio, we have the mic stand. We got to be able to type and read off our computer, right? So it's very tough figuring out where exactly you want to situate the mic so you can easily talk into it and then see everything.
I'm sure.
Do you not find the same problem?
I'm sure microphone positioning radio is fascinating and entertaining to people. But yes, I think you're correct.
That was a cue. Kelly, shut up and move on.
It wasn't. I still think your best thing today was Kelly interprets the news. We got to really do that more often.
Like what? What if Woj was like, no, that is completely false. Just completely
Woj
false.
Woj just angry tweets at us. Incorrect. I love my alma mater that much. NFL, last winless, last undefeated. Let me recap what happened here with last winless and last undefeated. Last year, I hit this. Carolina, last winless, 15-1. This year, I couldn't have been out quicker. Week one for last, I didn't end up betting last winless, but
I did.
I bet last undefeated though on the Jets. Now the thinking on the Jets was the same. I mean, I knew that I could go down this way. The thinking on the Jets was if they could somehow beat the Niners,
right,
then it looked pretty good for them. And so they didn't beat the Niners, and so that was that. But no, I kind of knew that was the pitfall of that.
You always pointed that out whenever you talked about the bet. Unlike Gil, I was just like, no, I'm fading the Patriots every way possible. So fewest wins, last winless, all that, and that's not looking great.
So last undefeated team now, if we update this, the Chiefs are the short shot, plus 275, because, well, let's just face it, Patrick Mahomes can figure out a way to win anything.
Yeah.
And they nonchalanted a 51-yard field goal at the end to beat the Bengals. Texans plus 450. Kelly's, I think they're the best team in football. I just don't have the onions to say it out loud, team. And then the Steelers are plus 750. Is this real life?
Yeah.
Oh, my. And the Chargers are 8-1. Now, the winner of the Steelers-Chargers game, right? They play each other. Yes. They're 3-0, assuming there's no tie. Bills are plus 850. Then you got the Bucks, Seahawks, Saints, and Vikings. I always thought that the Lions were the second thing. If I wasn't going to take the Jets, they've already lost a game, so they can't be on there. If you were forced to bet one of these, you bet in the Texans.
Yeah, I dug into both these markets. Yeah. This one, like we always say, me and you find the last winless far more interesting usually. Same thing applies here. There's not a bet I would make here if I had to, it would be Houston. Yeah. It would be Houston if I had to. If we go to last winless.
Let's go to last winless.
I think wrong team favorite in this one.
It's last winless is always cooler. The short shot in last winless is your defending last winless champion.
That's right.
In Bizarro World, Carolina Panthers. They're 2-1. Then the Giants are plus 275. Now, those were the Giants were Felica's version of my Jets bet, which was if they could lose to the Vikings week one, which they did in this case, then he thought the Giants were really well positioned. I think they were double digits, right? Pre-flop.
Yeah.
So the Giants, I think is the... Here's the thing. If it was Bryce Young, I would still say it's the Panthers at this point. Because, again, as bad as I thought Bryce Young would be, did anyone think he would have gone this bad this year? Because he just had no confidence in the first two games this year on a level that you never really saw out of him last year. Like, he wasn't good, but it didn't look like he had just given up. This year it did. So the Panthers are the short shot, but now it's Andy Dalton. So I don't think you can. I think you're right. That's the wrong team favored, quote unquote.
And this is your Giants schedule upcoming.
Yes.
Browns, who we just talked about as a survivor team.
That's
also
correct.
Right?
We did. Yeah.
Next week, they host the Cowboys. Okay. Then they go on the road to Seattle. Then it's host Bengals. Then it is host Eagles. Then it's at the Steelers. We're at Halloween already.
They're the correct, Felica was right. If they could get by, again, Bizarro World, meaning lose the first week to the Vikings, the Giants are in the catbird seat for this. But at plus 275, would you recommend a bet on that now is the question. I don't know that I would, because now it's not sexy enough to play. Let me rephrase this. If I said to you, you may not pick the Giants, you may not bet them, you are not allowed to, you have to take another team. What is that team? I'm trying to get you to pick the team that you think has the MVP.
No, I'm not going there, Gil. No. I'd go Broncos.
You go Broncos.
I'd go Broncos because the argument would just be that Bo Nix never gets it together.
Correct. I would agree with that. And that Sean Payton cannot possibly whisper loud enough to make him better.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I guess you could. I'm not going to sit here and say that you couldn't say the same thing about Anthony Richardson right now, though. You could be like, hey, he might just not get it together ever.
And the Rams are there largely because they don't have wide receivers.
They're so injured.
Or an offensive line.
They're so injured.
It's not the Bengals and it's not the Ravens. You got to be Michigan to bet those.
So I might bet this. If there are actually shops available to us that have this up and we are at plus 275 or better on the Giants, I think I will be making a bet.
Better, so 275 or better. So not the Broncos. I thought you were going to say you're going to bet the Broncos.
No, I'm talking about the Giants. I think they should be the favorite in this market. I hear you. The plus 275 isn't as sexy as what we were seeing it.
Still plus 275.
It's still plus 275.
Yep.
And if I think the wrong team's favorite in an index market like this, then it's worth a little bit of a bet.
I do think they should be the short shot here for sure. And I agree with you that the Broncos would be my other option if I did. But I have no bets in this at this point. I already lost my last undefeated on the Jets.
Yeah, maybe don't listen to us in these markets.
Well, no, I mean, I hit it last year.
Last year.
15-1 beats losing one unit on it.
Yeah.
But here, I think the Giants are. And Felica was right. Like, if they can lose that first game, and they did, that's the team, and they are I think the team to beat, quote unquote, here. We've done all we can do. Money Moves with Stormy and Matt on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.